Southern Indiana. Not a whole lot goes on in Southern Indiana. There's a lot of trees, roads that wind this way and that way, river that borders it on the south side of it, Kentucky on the other side of it. But one of the things that's down there that you can do is take advantage of the caves that are in the area. Some caves down in Kentucky, some caves in southern Indiana. And one of the things that's interesting is go for one of those cave tours. They take you down and you wind through the various places. And it's just amazing God's beauty as He has created these little hollows in the ground. And of course, as we went down with the tour guide, they would take us through and show us the various things. And they would bring us to a place where they showed the lights on in special ways. And you see the stalactites coming down and the stalagmites coming up. And you see those just crystal type things that are all through the caves. And you get to a certain place and then the person asks, "Do you want to see what a cave looks like in its natural habitat?" And everybody's, yeah. And all of a sudden they turn out all the lights. And you see nothing. It's pitch black. You can't see your hand. You start wondering where your hand went. You don't know where people are. And some people start getting a little anxious at that particular point. But those experienced individuals who gave the cave tours knew that they couldn't leave the lights out for long. They'd turn them back on and light would be there. But sometimes even in that darkness, they might light a little match. And that one little match would light up the whole cavern area. For in the pitch black darkness, it's amazing what one little light can do. Our text for this morning is coming out of Philippians chapter 2. And in Philippians chapter 2, we are kind of coming to a portion where God talks about the fact that we are lights in the context of a dark world. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18, the key verse we're going to be looking at. "In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Verse 15. What an encouragement for us to realize that as we pick up the newspaper and we read about the horrific things that take place, and as we lay out all the different things that have taken place in the last year that have been so despicable, and add to the darkness of the sin of this world, God is saying we are the lights in this darkness. We are the answer to the darkness that is all around us. You know, there's various types of lights. There are some lights, like the light that is going to come on here in just a second. Different type. Yeah. There's lights that are old. Some of you probably had a light like that on your car. But then there's lights that are new. Like this one. Like your lightsaber. Some of you have those too. And some lights are elegant. And some are just simple. And then there's lights for big things. And lights for small things. And lights that follow the action. And the lights that stand alone. You know, it's amazing the various kind of lights that we see in our lives today that we might use. Some little bulbs, some big bulbs, some that we can take with us, some that stay stationary. But we use various lights to penetrate the darkness that impedes our progress. You know that's true about God as well? God will use different types of lights. He might use some older lights. He might use some younger lights. He might use some elegant lights. He might use some just plain lights, simple lights. Some lights are doing big things for big tasks. But some lights are shedding the gospel in small, little ways. Some lights are going all over the place, maybe to exciting lands. And some lights are just stationary where they are to accomplish the light in that dark little corner where they might be. And so the challenge that we have, first of all, is kind of determining what kind of light, if I'm to be a light that's going to penetrate the darkness of this world, what kind am I? And of course, I have not exhausted the many options of the types of way God uses individuals to place light in the darkness. I just want to give you an opportunity to think about it a little bit. What kind of light are you? Or have you been a light at all? Sometimes we find that lights don't work. And boy, we've got individuals in here that just love to fix things. So for you today, we have this hands-on kind of message to help you relate just a little bit better. That just love to fix things. Well, I have here today a flashlight. This flashlight, Assel, works as a lantern. It's one of these very special kind of lights. Nothing but the best for our illustrations, of course. But as you can see, it is not lit. And some of you, I know, are just dying to tear this thing apart, Julie included, to find out, why isn't this thing working? You know, it's sometimes true for ourselves too, spiritually, that God has set us in particular places with certain tasks to be a light for Him, but the light is not burning. The light is not accomplishing what God has set that light there for. And sometimes there's reasons why that light is not doing its job. Well, as you may have guessed, there are reasons why this light is not working. And as you may have guessed, I've set it up so it will work with my message this morning as to why the light is not working. Let's look at some of the troubleshooting with the light. Let's read the verse 4. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now also much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing." Well, there's one way of getting into this thing, and I might as well do it because some of you can't stand the fact that I have not opened this yet. So I'm going to go ahead and open it and find out what is keeping this light from working. Well, as long as it doesn't fall apart on me here. Ah, it has been stuffed with something. There is a bug in it. It is rags. Ah, the Bible sometimes talks about those things that get in our life that keep us from being like Christ as filthy rags. Well, I happen to have in my light some filthy rags. Look at this first one. It's hard to read this, I know. But it reads, rebellion. Rebellion. Look what the Apostle Paul said here in Philippians. He's talking about what they should be. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but also my absence." Rebellion, or that being a resistor, if you would, of what has been told for us to do. Just having that rebellious attitude. You know, sometimes today that is kind of an accepted thing. You know, you just gotta have a little chip on your shoulder. You just gotta have a little bit of rebellion to you. I mean, that gives you excitement. That gives you some dimension to your personality. Folks, in the Scripture it says rebellion is equivalent to the sin of witchcraft. The music that's out today that emphasizes rebellion. The TV sitcoms today that emphasize rebellion. Even leaders in our government today that emphasize rebellion as a way of getting things done are individuals who are involved with something that God equates to witchcraft. And here's what he says about this rebellion. And as he's talking about being a light, this rebellion is not only when He was present. You know, that talks about a reputation. When we are around other people, and we're willing to be obedient around other people, and we're willing to behave around other people, that talks about our reputation. But when we're willing to behave and obey and align ourselves underneath the other individuals that are leading us when they're not around, that is character. That is an individual who is motivated by principle, not by who is watching. It's an individual, but quite frankly, it is motivated by what God thinks more so than what people think. When I was in gym class, I don't know if I've shared this illustration or not before, but it was so true. Every time the gym teacher would come in, he would have us do calisthenics. He would have us doing push-ups. And we would do the push-ups while he's watching. And then someone would come to the door and call him away. And when he wasn't watching, we would like this on the floor. And then when he came back in, what were you doing? Okay. You know, this type of thing. And this idea of being faithful or being obedient, or as that word obedient is in this text, is that word of responsive. It's hearing and obeying. It's like having a pet dog that you would give them an order and they respond to the order. They're following your command. Could also be similar to the ice skaters as they're doing that couple skating, and the one is leading and the other is following, and they're working together in tandem. They're responding to what is being led. That's what's being encouraged here. Folks, we can find ourselves with lights that don't work because we want to be stubborn and rebellious and not want to do and align ourselves with individuals. We can be a poor light at work because we want to be rebellious with those who are in authority over us. We can be a poor light at school because of the way we behave in rebellion to what the teachers might be telling us to do. There's just various ways that we can fail to do it. The Apostle Paul was talking about the people in Philippi and saying, I know that you will obey. I know that you will not be rebellious, even when I'm gone. Well, as you may have guessed, there's something else in the flashlight. Rebellion is something that can keep our light from working. Also, this is an interesting word, doubting. Can doubting keep our light from shining? Let's look at the text again. It has the obey, not in my presence only, but also in my absence. But it also says this. It says, for it is God who works in you, both to do and to will for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Look at that word complaining. It is the idea of not believing that God is taking care of you properly. You know, that's an area of doubt, isn't it? You know, why does this happen to happen to me? Why does this have to go this way? And we get to where we whine and complain about how things are going. What is that doing? That's reflecting on our relationship with God and how God has provided. Jesus said to the multitude that was listening to Him, He said, trust in your Father above. He will provide for the things that you need. If you do not trust in Him, you are no different than an unbeliever who doesn't have the Heavenly Father to provide for them. Take no thought for tomorrow has enough worthy. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the encouragement is that when we get to the place where we are complaining, we are actually doubting God's provision and what God will do for us, His care. Now, the issue of disputing. This is where they're talking about this idea of fighting and arguing back and forth. And I've kind of looked at how that we can, as lights, be put out, not only because we show that our God isn't good enough to care for us, but also because we get so caught up in wanting to argue about things. There's a tragic thing that happened years ago. 20 years ago now. My sister was tragically killed. And I was called back from Bible college to go to the funeral. While back from the funeral, it gave an opportunity for the relatives to get together as those times go. This was my only experience with that type of thing, not realizing the emotional turmoil and all the pressures that go into the days preceding a funeral and such. But the family was all together, and because I was in Bible college, a couple of the individuals that were in the family, not you know, real close family, but extended family, had gotten involved with some type of religion themselves. And they wanted to debate certain technicalities concerning Christianity, concerning church philosophy, concerning methodology. And I got to say, as a young man, I bit into it. And I got involved with it. But it wasn't too long until I was all done and I said, what did I accomplish here? My light opportunity. For there was a lot of darkness that week. There was no hint of salvation in the lives of my sister's family. There was no hint of salvation in the light of her friends. It was one of the more... There were tons of people at the funeral and such. And I realized none of those people saw what was going on in our living room. But it was this dark opportunity for me to shine my light about the grace and the mercy and the beauty of Jesus Christ. And instead, I got caught up in the disputings. I got caught up in those things which really got to where we were doubting God's truth and just causing that to be an issue of turmoil and causing others to doubt the truth of God over mere technicalities, over things that weren't worth arguing about. And it was a challenge to my heart. It was too bad. I couldn't go back and erase these things, but I had unsaved relatives that were witness to those types of behavior. And my heart just sunk to realize my light had been snuffed out because of that. But praise God that He did allow me, because I was the one in Bible college, to choose the individual who'd do the funeral, since we had no pastors in our relationship. So I chose a good friend of mine that I knew would give the gospel. So despite my light not shining as it should, the gospel went out. There's a third thing in here that goes along with this issue of the light. And look at our next verse. It says, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You know, I just put on this one is worldliness. Worldliness. The whole idea here that the writer is talking about is not being involved with the actions and the thinkings of the world. A desire for purity and a desire that things might be done not according to the world's standards, but by God's standards. Look at the words that he uses. He uses the word blameless, harmless, without fault. You know, much is said about how that Jesus spent time with those who were sinners, publicans and sinners. And I've thought through this much about how he behaved while he was on earth. He was with those who drank. He was with those who were involved with sinful past. But you know, I never see in the Scriptures where Jesus was drunk. I never see in Scriptures where Jesus was using lewd language. I never see in Scriptures where Jesus was getting himself involved with worldly behavior for the sake of reaching these people. One of the things I notice is that Jesus, despite the fact that he wound himself around these people, when he touched their lives, that one of the key things he was saying many times was, go and sin no more. When he touched the world, he did so as a light, so that when people saw him and were impressed by his life, they went as a changed individual. Sure, Jesus spent time with the woman at the well, a woman who probably had a very bad reputation. But it says that when he was done speaking with her, she left and had the impact of evangelizing, or at least planting the seed of hundreds of individuals in the town where she came from, because she knew her life was changed. You know, and as I look at this idea of how much we need to be like the world to reach the world, it was the Apostle Paul says that I become all things to all people that I might be able to reach them. But then again, Paul has constantly shown the importance of being separated from worldly activities, of being ones who stand out to be different. He said that we would even be considered strange by some individuals because of the things that we stand for, because of the way in which we act. And quite frankly, sometimes because of the way we look.
that we will stand out to be different. Now, why do I think this is important? Let me just share with you. I think about why it is important that we be careful when we become lights, that we are different in a sense for people being able to see. One thing is, we ought to have a difference inside of our heart that comes out. When we deal with pressures and hardships in life, is it shown that we are individuals that do not have to go to the same worldly resources that they go to for help? Or do we have some resources that are better than what the world has to offer? When we think about the types of things that make us glad, He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. Where do we go to get our joy? Do we have to go to the same places that the world goes to get their gladness, their happiness, and etc.? Or can we have it in Jesus Christ? Can we be excited about Jesus Christ? And again, I'm not talking about the fact that you have to limit all your behavior and etc. I'm just saying, when we look for fulfillment and satisfaction and enjoyment in life, does the world see that we have difference in what makes us glad, in what gives us joy? One of the things that kind of comes to my ideas on this is this. You know, folks, if we do not show that we have something different in our lives, what is it that's going to prompt the world, those individuals that are in darkness, to trust us to show them the way? If they look at us and they see our lives as dark as what their life is, if they see us with the same hang-ups they have, they see us with the same lack of joy that they have, why would they want to follow us? Several years ago when I was a child, my testimony basically runs this way. I was exposed to very little religion as a young person. Very ignorant as to things of the Scripture, of God, who Jesus was, or anything like that. And we had a couple individuals on our block. And we were kind of you know those kids that run around your block and they get in your backyard and you chase them out and all that type of stuff and you wonder where their parents are and why, you know. Well, that was me and my friends, okay? We just ran the neighborhood. We didn't know that you weren't supposed to do that and that type of thing. But that's kind of way we did. Of my friends, there was only one of them that went to church anywhere. And they were a religious family, and they did a lot of the religious things as far as religion was concerned. But his behavior, he was one of the most rebellious kids in the group. Rarely obeyed his parents. I would hear him told what to do, and as soon as his parents were gone, he would do almost the exact opposite. Swear words and things like that was terrible. And just a number of things. And he's the one that taught me how to steal. To go into someone's garden and steal something and run real quick. I didn't know why I had to run. But he told me, run. Okay. And I found out what stealing was in that type of a context. But this young man one time asked me to go to church with him. A particular night, and I guess as their family, they all went in and did their thing and came out. And I said, no. I mean, I was appreciative of everything they did, but I said, no thanks. I've got a lot of what you already have already. I didn't say it that way, but that's what I was thinking about. I've got what you've got already. I just don't need any more of this other. And it was just a realization that you know, here's a young man that I believe didn't have Christ. He had religion. He didn't have a light. He just had some series of things that he went through. But then I wonder, how about people in our own church? Would people be surprised to find out that you're a believer? Would they be kind of shocked to find out you go to church on Sundays? That you carry your Bible? Has your light been kind of put out because of worldliness and a desire to mesh with the world? Folks, the world, quite honestly, has nothing we need. The world has nothing. We are not missing out on all the fun. As the film we watched on New Year's Eve, we're missing out on all the sin. I want to encourage us that our light could be all mixed up because we want to blend so much. Now, I'm not opposed to us making friends with individuals who don't know Christ. That's the only way it gets done. But if we are not shining as lights, we cannot bring them through that cave of darkness to the place where they will see Jesus and they'll get excited about what their life can transform as. Well, now we got our light. And as you can see, I've got everything out of it. And I can put it back together again. And we can see how the light works. And it still doesn't work. Okay? Aha. An important ingredient that is missing. No, not the Energizer Bunny one, but it should do. If I put it in correctly, it should work, right? Because the other thing is, we need to have the proper source. As he says in his Scripture, to encourage us to hold forth the Word of life. Folks, sometimes the reason that our light is not shining is because we fail to spend time with the Word of life. We fail to spend time with Jesus Christ, and we fail to spend time in His Word where we're drinking up the truth of His Scripture. And if I look at that battery, the battery that I placed within this light, as being that source of energy, it's so true of the Scriptures as well. It becomes the source of our energy and helps us to be able to be the light that God wants us to be. And folks, when we don't have that energy that comes from God, we do not have the Word of life in us, working through us, we won't be bright. And then the fourth thing is the need to have, and this is the clincher for all you technicians. Number one thing you have to check, is the switch on? Is the switch on? That voluntary thing that chooses whether it's going to be on or off. For if it stays on all the time, it burns out. This one does. And the question is, have we done some things where we have chosen voluntarily, willfully, to not to let our light shine? Have we thought, well, this is not a good place to shine our light? We might say, well, you don't know my workplace. The workplace here is so dark that people are just so sinful. Where's the best place for a light? In the darkness. And that's a good time to turn the switch on. For an individual to be caught down in Marengo Cave, down in the very midst of the depths of the belly of that cave, and to be down there with a flashlight, and to sit down there and say, it's too dark in here, and not turn the switch on, is not a very wise situation. And how that we ought to realize, as we look at the world that is around us, and you know, the things that are happening in our society, some of the stuff we might be happy about, we might have differing opinions. But folks, the answer to our country, the answer to our world is not being addressed in any political platform. The answer is the light of Jesus Christ. We are the light of the world. That's what he says in the midst of this perverse generation, crooked and perverse generation. We shine as lights. And the only way we're going to be more successful is get more lights. Get more lights. And the way we get more lights is by shining our light. And the more you shine your light, the more we can get more lights. And the more those lights shine together, the brighter the light in the darkness of this crooked and perverse generation. So the question is, have we taken the rags out that are impeding our progress? Have we replaced it with the Word of God and with a relationship with Jesus Christ? Have we put the thing back together again, and have we turned on the switch? So that we can be the light that our dear friends need, so that they do not have to stumble along in the darkness. Father, as we come to you in prayer, We do so with the desire that we each might think about what is happening in our lives. What are we doing to be lights? How are we accomplishing the goal that you have set up for us, that we might be the lights in this dark, dark world? Father, I pray that we might be reflective, that we might be the ones to be able to show to this world what true peace is, what true joy is, what true fulfillment is, as we do so because we're connected to your source. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.